can see, I was fully prepared, ready to jump up here. What a wonderful morning so far. We have some wonderful people in leadership places in this church that are doing incredible things. You know, Jody, I hope I'm there when they say, well done, O good and faithful servant. But she's not. She's already working. Father, I just pray that your special anointing will be on this word this morning. I'm reminded over and over again that we can do nothing without you. We need you at all times, Father, even in the smallest and simplest things. Without you, they so quickly go wrong. So, Father, I count it once again a privilege to come and speak to your people. And I pray, Father, that the word that you have given me will encourage, help, and give direction to my brothers and sisters in Christ. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this "Be Careful in Little Things." And you've no doubt heard me over the years say that when you look after the pennies, the pounds look after themselves. But for you younger people, if you look after the cents, the dollars will look after themselves. In Luke 19, 15 through to 27, and I have these bits of paper and I really should have stuck to the Bible. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded those servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. You remember, he had given so many talents to three of his servants and asked them to trade. Then came the first, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, "Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." He then said to him, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping where I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him, give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, "Master, he has 10. For I say to you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that he has will be taken away from him." Be wise with what God has given us, because he has given each of us one or many talents. My good friend and my old pastor, Bruce, and I used to play golf on a regular basis. There are set in place rules and regulations to play any sport, and it's no different with golf. And if we played the right game, we would hit it right down the middle, and it would be nice and easy, and there'd be no problems. But if we hit it offline, if we came off the centre, if we came off the right track, we could be 1 inch or 10 feet out of bounds, which incurs a penalty. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're 1 inch out or right across the other side of the road, which I've often been. You still incur a penalty. Now, before we continue to play the game, having incurred the penalty, we must take the penalty before we can carry on playing. As disciples of Christ, we too have a guideline to follow. His name is Jesus. And the rules are laid down in a book called the Bible. If Bruce and I play down the centre, everything's good. when we play in the center of God's will, everything's good. When we walk with Him, things seem to fall into line. Life is good. Faith and I are going through a period of blessings that we are just overjoyed with morning after morning. Yes, we're busy, but it's all good stuff. And somehow or other, we seem to find time to do it all in, because we try, without trying too hard, to stay in God's blessing. Just don't hit the ball out of bounds. Don't hit it into the rough. Don't go to places where you'll have strife. Walk in God's way, and life can be so rewarding. If Bruce and I keep going on in the rough and out of bounds, the going is tough. Believe you me, it can be very, you know, years ago when I first came to the Lord, we pulled some silly tricks, don't we, as children of God. And I was playing down at Wirrina in those days. We were both members down there. And they got rough. I mean, they got rough. The first thing you think about is snakes down there. And my ball, as usual, would go in the rough, grass this high. And new Christian, just come to know the Lord. Holy Spirit, you know where that ball is. Holy Spirit, you, two legs to the right. Holy Spirit, you know, three legs to the right. You know exactly. No, I'm not worried about the ball, Lord. Not, I just want to get that knowledge of talking to you and hearing you. Where's the ball? We can con ourselves. Needless to say, I seldom found the ball in that method. We learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit by walking down the center of the course, by walking with God's hand in ours and listening continuously. And sometimes we look back and think, oh, I heard the Lord that time. And it happened to me just a couple of days ago. And this same man, Bruce, that has been a good friend of mine for a long, 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 long time, has been in the nursing home at Aldinga. And I felt very strongly the Lord lay on my heart to go and visit him on Friday morning. And I went to see Bruce, and it was quite a shock. He had really gone down, and he was now just a dead man breathing. But I know that God directed me to go and see my old mate before he passed on. You see, you know when God speaks to you, and we need to learn to know when Satan speaks to us. They are two separate voices, and when we follow the one that we know is the Holy Spirit, we are blessed. And I was so blessed, because I know that God had allowed me to see my old mate before he goes to be with the Lord. So when I wrote this, I had no idea that Bruce was in that state. Last time I spoke to him, he was up and about and talking, and he was losing his mind, but he was in pretty good shape. So if I crack up halfway through this, you'll know why. Be careful with little things. You know, a little white lie is a lie. A little white lie is a lie. It's like being 1 inch out of bounds. You're still out of bounds. If you play a little white lie, it's no different than telling a big lie. It's still a lie. If I'm an inch out or 10 feet out, I'm still out of bounds. If we tell a little lie or a big lie, we're still out of God's will. We're still not in His will. Expect a penalty. And I'm not saying he's going to come out with a big whip, and you'll just be deprived of a blessing somewhere or other. God doesn't come out with a big stick and say, oh, you should have done this and you should have done that, and you haven't. You're an inch out. I don't care whether you're an inch out or 20 feet out. You've done it wrong. No, just a blessing that he has is withheld. We don't appreciate it because it's gone. If I steal a pencil from work, how many of us up that? Don't hold your hands up, please. How many of us have spent, you know, a bit of paper? It's just a bit of paper. They've got tons of it in there. They got heaps of pencils. I've seen them down in the storeroom. I borrow. They give them out to customers. You're not a customer. Doesn't matter if I take a pencil from work or the whole desk that I'm sitting on. Guess what? I've got a workbench at home. It used to be my workbench when I was working. But it was given to me. I didn't have to steal it. Couldn't pick it up. You see, it's not a perk from work. It's stealing. We've seen to the, in our modern age, lost that little saying that call a spade a spade. What do you dig with? A spade. When you take a pencil, what are you doing? I'm stealing. I'm taking something from somebody that doesn't belong to me, whether it's a pencil or a desk. And that applies to what we do with God's blessings to us. In Malachi 3, 8 and 9, will a man rob God? I love this section of scripture. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Ever thought about that? Not just tithes and offerings. But when he calls us to do something and we ignore it and don't do it, we have robbed God of the pleasure of seeing us working for him. We rob God in so many times. Should I be in prayer this morning? No, no, there's something on telly that I want to watch. I've robbed God of the time I was supposed to spend with him. Because it was my decision to do so. I want to spend time with you, Lord. And then along comes this super thing on TV. God, that'll be the day. Super rubbish on TV. Have you noticed how many more channels we've got? There's nine this, nine that, nine that, nine that. And they've all got the same thing on. It's beyond me. But hear what 9 says, 3, 8 and 9. You are cursed with a curse. This is God speaking, not me, it's in the word. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Now that's a pretty horrific scripture. When I rob the Lord, I said just now that when I do things that aren't quite right with him, I lose out on a blessing. And I hate losing out on God's blessings. We enjoy them every day, don't we, Faith? God's blessings are just poured out. Do you know, when we come to church, we pray every morning for the littlies, the children in this church. They are such a blessing to Faith and I. I love it when we see the littlies come down here. I wish the parents would leave them down here. And I know it's hard. You're not seeing your child and he's somewhere out here and you're worrying about him. I never had children, and when I see a little boy or a little girl on a bike going down the pavement, I say to Faith, I couldn't do that. I couldn't let my child go that far away from. I would have been a hopeless dad. I'd have been all over that kid like a rash. So when we see the littlies down here, it is just such a joy. It is just such a joy. It really, and we're so blessed that you parents with kiddies allow us to be part of it. It's just such a joy, and that's got nothing to do with you being cursed. I know some of you that have got your kiddies running around and are going to school feel sometimes that you're cursed. I know mum and dad, well, not dad because I never saw him very often, but mum, I'm sure she used to think I was a curse. Have you ever felt a saucepan banged on the top of your head? Just because you didn't go to school. It was serious in those days. Nowadays, nobody goes to school. When they do, they don't learn anything. The three R's. Writing starts with a W. See, we learnt all that stuff. I can't remember the other two. While you're laughing, some of us, and I know I've always been down that track, have worried about being a bit small. a bit little, I found the answer. Buy a shirt that's bigger than you normally buy. See, this one got plenty of room in it. It's made me look bigger straight away. Next week, I'm going to put a bicycle pump in my belly button and pump me up. I look at Luke and I feel so jealous. He's a big man. I shook hands with a guy yesterday and my hand disappeared across the table from us last night. He, just a huge man. And shook hands and I said, my hand's gone. So you see, I do have problems inside. I wish I was bigger. Faith's trying her hardest and we're getting there. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the man that doesn't carry a curse. Do you know you can't be cursed? Nobody in this room can be cursed. You are a child of God. Doesn't matter if somebody says, I curse you, or I put a curse upon you, it cannot alight on somebody that belongs to Christ unless you allow it to happen. You cannot curse, be cursed. You cannot do it. Can't happen. And it's in here somewhere. I'll find it one day and show it to you. Do you realize what a robber does? What a stupid question. Do you realize what a robber does? He steals things. Well, whoopee-doo. Whether it's a pencil from work or a tithe from God, it's still robbing. It's still stealing. It's still taking something that doesn't belong to you. Because the word says, as far as tithing goes, you give a tenth of your income to God. And you don't do it on Friday, you do it on Monday. You don't do it on the end of the week, you do it at the start of the week. You don't do it after you've given all the goodies to the candlestick maker and the baker and the grocery man and Woolies. Give it to God, first and foremost. Out of a little acorn grows huge oak trees. We must watch our integrity. As Christians, the world is watching. In other words, says there are a great cloud of people watching us. Let your yes be yes and your no mean no. You're robbing somebody when you lose your integrity, when you say, yes, I'll do it, and you don't. No, I won't go there, and you do. Stay true to yourselves as well as to God. Integrity is a habit, and it is. Remember, sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an action and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Our character is so strong and definite in our walk with God. What you are is what you sow. A little seed grows into a big tree. I'd like to read something that I picked up some time ago. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. One of the reasons we struggle with integrity is because we look outside ourselves to explain the deficiency in our character when the truth is integrity is an inside job. Consider these three things. First, integrity is not determined by your circumstances. They are no more responsible for your character than the mirror is for your good looks. What you see there only reflects what you already are. And what you are is the result of the decisions you make every day. Second, integrity is not based on your credentials. Your credentials may get you through the door, but only your integrity will keep you there. And in ancient times, builders and artists used a personal symbol to mark the things they created. This symbol was called their character, and the value of any work was always determined by the character of the man who made it. In the UK, they have thatched roofs, and Pacific people nowadays are getting few. Thatch a roof, and when he's finished, they put a sign up on the top of the roof. It might be a cockle or a cross or a circle or a square. It might be something. But by that, he is saying, hey, I put that roof up there And the job is now finished. It was the finished sign, and it was also letting everybody know, if this roof falls apart, my sign up there tells you, don't come to me again. But if this roof looks good after 30 years, the sign's still up there, and you'll know that when I finished the job, it stayed finished. So you go back to him. Have you ever wondered about the cloth that was on Christ's head? You remember how it was left? Neatly folded in the tube? That was his sign. That was his sign. It was done for a reason. It was his sign. It is finished. It is a good job. It's well done. Third, your integrity should be confused with your reputation. Should not be confused with your reputation. Character is substance. Reputation is only shadow. Reputation is what you're supposed to be. Character is what you are. One is the work of a moment. The other is the work of a lifetime. Reputation can make you rich or poor, but only character can make you happy or miserable. We used to say you can't change a leopard's spots. You can't change your character. It's ingrained deep within you. Reputation is what men say about you and your tombstone. Character is what the angels say about you before the throne of God. That is your character. When Norman Vincent Peale was a boy, his dad caught him in an alley smoking a big cigar. How many of you guys have, you know, no, Mum, I never smoke. I used to tell my mum, no, I never smoke, Mum, it makes me feel really awful. Until she saw a picture of me in front of a bus with a fag in my hand. Too late to throw away a jar, for his dad was coming down the alley towards him. He put it behind his back and tried to act cool, but to his dismay, his father decided to stop and chat with him. Desperate to divert his father's attention, he spotted a nearby billboard advertising a circus. "Can I go to the circus, Dad?" he pleaded. "Can I go when it comes to town, please?" His dad replied, "Son, with what you're hiding behind your back, you're not in a position to ask for anything, are you?" What a lesson. God can't ignore your disobedience. Only when you've done what he said will your relationship with him be right and your prayers answered. God knows everything we do. He knows when we've got a fat cigar behind our back. He knows when we're trying to hide something from him. He knows everything we do. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. That scares the death out of me sometimes. I can just vaguely remember what I did yesterday, but God knows every fractional thing that we'll do tomorrow. We can't hide anything from him. So be open with God. No matter how small the thing is that I've done wrong, no matter whether I went out an inch or a foot, I went wrong. Lord, forgive me. I've done it again. Faith and I ask for those things every single morning. Even when I've had what I think is a good day and I can't think of anything specific that I've really done wrong, I know that I've gone wrong. Father, forgive my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my omissions. And help me to do and to say what is right in your sight. Because somewhere along the line, I'm going to think a wrong thought. I'm going to say a wrong word. And I need to be right with God, not just once a month or once a week or whatever your church does. Some of them only do it once a month nowadays, but once a week, praise God, we still have communion once a week. Not ask forgiveness at once, but every day. Every day. Stay down the middle of the course. Hit the ball straight every time. Be with God all the way. Don't blame your circumstances. Blame your sowing. Paul said, "I have learnt to be content." I love that scripture. We think of Paul and all the things he went through, and here's he saying, "I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do." But he had learned through pain and suffering to be content. And I think that's one of the greatest things, when a Christian can show the rest of the world that he's happy and content when the wheels have fallen off his trolley. That is a great witness to those out there. Instead of stomping up and down and carrying on like two bob watches, praise the Lord. I love the way Peter brings us into praise and worship. Love it, Peter. Because that's where it's at. Before anything happens, praise the Lord. Give him glory. Thank you for a great game of golf, Lord. Paul said, I have learned to be content. Are you playing your Christian walk down the middle of the fairway? Or are you tempting yourself by playing in the rough and going out of bounds? My wonderful mate, friend, pal, buddy, James. Not you, the one that wrote the books. But you're a good man, James. I love James. Yes, Ian. Verse 1. You said last week, I know. Count it all blessings. I didn't know how to look it up. Isn't that terrible? James 1, 12 to 18. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And I think a few of us need to remember that now and again. God does not do the tempting. He may allow Satan, but he doesn't tempt. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his or her own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And I'll finish with this. A small swear word today can be blasphemy tomorrow. A small white lie today can be denial tomorrow. All things start somewhere. And would you like God to look you steadily in the eye one day and say to you, you have robbed me.